I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. After sitting empty and falling into disrepair for the last four decades, the century-old Sun Theater and Grand Center has completed an $11.5 million renovation. Yesterday, I took a walking tour of the beautiful old building, and we're going to share that with you later in the program. Our arts and culture reporter, Nancy Fowler, is going to join us to talk about her new series, Art Game Changers. And she has a story about an artist who's been working with disadvantaged young people for the last few years, but who now may leave St. Louis after being forced out of his art space. And we pay tribute to David Balding, a co-founder and driving force behind Circus Flora. He passed away last week. We begin with Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, which opens its 14th season tomorrow evening at Shakespeare Glen in Forest Park. Rick Dildine is the festival's executive director. Bruce Longworth directs Henry V. And also joining us, actor Anderson Matthews. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Rick, this year is unique as you are presenting three plays and two alternating shows, and you have said that this is a once-in-a-lifetime theatrical experience.
It is. I mean, over two nights, you get to watch over a decade of British history. You get to watch one night a guy be the prince, and the next night he's the king. And we get to track all of those decisions over two nights.
And this is unusual being presented in this way. It hasn't been done often?
No, not often. A lot of times theaters will do these shows in back-to-back seasons. They'll put them into consecutive seasons. But we're doing it this year with one cast of 22 actors. They've been in rehearsal for the past 8 weeks. They are going to present over 65 characters, over 100 costumes. And it all starts tomorrow night.
And then there's going to be an opportunity, I think, on two evenings where you're going to do them back-to-back?
That's right. On June 7th and June 14th. We'll do Henry IV with an hour dinner break and then followed by Henry V.
Wow. Bruce Longworth, you're new to the festival staff. You're now serving as associate artistic director. But
yes.
You have a long history with the festival.
I do. I directed Hamlet in 2010 and Othello in 2012.
Mm-hmm. And you're currently on the faculty of Webster University, I think have been for quite a long time.
A long time, 1985.
Wow. Anderson, this will not be your first appearance at Shakespeare Glen either.
No, I did Hamlet, and last year I did Twelfth Night. Mm-hmm.
And you've acted around, you're not from here, but you've acted around town.
Oh, I've been coming to St. Louis
for a long time.
Well over 20 years, and I've done a lot of shows at the Rep.
Right. In fact, you and Bruce have acted together before, at least once.
We have, and I've been directed.
Something about a goat.
Something about a goat, yeah.
Yes, we did the goat at the Rep, at the Grandel, actually. Huh. And I've been directed by Bruce on a number of occasions.
All right. It's like family then. Rick, three plays and two alternating shows with the same cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, what were rehearsals like? It sounds complicated.
Well, Bruce can talk about that because he's been in it. But, you know, we've been talking about this idea for several years, and it started becoming a reality about a year ago when I sat down with Bruce and Tim O'Sell, who's directing Henry IV, and I said, guys, how do we make this happen? And then we started charting a course to put both shows in rehearsals. And the actors, they work on both shows every single day.
And some play multiple roles, right?
Oh,
many of
yes.
Them.
Yes. And all 22 actors are in both shows. So there's no one slipping out and getting a night off. They are rehearsing and memorizing both shows.
So what's that been like, the rehearsal process?
It's been on some occasions exhilarating and on other occasions psychotic. but if you're not rehearsing in one space and you find yourself with an hour and a half free time, you don't have that hour and a half free time because they just shuttle you upstairs to the other space where they're rehearsing Henry V and you fit into there. But there's been enough time to do everything. It's more going up and down the stairs for us oldsters.
Well, you guys are professionals, so maybe it doesn't faze you. But to me, I would think that maybe you would forget sometimes which play you're doing.
Well, the fear in our dressing room right now is putting on the wrong costume, grabbing something that's for Henry V when it's Henry IV.
I wonder if anyone would notice that, though, really.
Oh, I think Darty Marshall would notice, probably, our costume designer.
That's for sure. Well, why don't you mention, Rick, maybe some of the other cast members? There are some names I know that will be very familiar to people.
Sure. Of the 22 actors, 16 of them are from St. Louis. So some names that folks may know: Joneil Joplin, Gary Glasgow, Jerry Vogel, Cary Ely. Those are some well-known St. Louis actors.
Is it Jim Butts?
And, of course, yes. Yeah. How can I forget
don't
the
forget
guy
Jim.
Playing to lead? Jim Butts, who played Hamlet for us. He played Antony.
He played Antony.
And Jim is covering Prince Hal, and then he becomes King Henry V.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the cost this season. I wouldn't necessarily bring that up, but but I'm going to. Producing two shows, from what I understand, has increased the budget significantly, and I know, you know, that's not a concern to Anderson, perhaps, or Bruce, but it is to you.
It is. You know, the festival is supported. Our budget is over 90% contributions. And this year, to do this show, it cost about 23% more. How's that for specifics for you? 23% more. And that real expense comes from a larger cast, longer rehearsal schedule. You know, one of the reasons we put these two shows together is that we're using the same set, the same, how would you say it, aesthetic concept.
Yeah, it's a very cohesive look for both shows.
So both directors have agreed to make the both plays land in the same world, the same time period. So we're using the same set, but the real expense comes from a longer rehearsal schedule with the actors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think Shakespeare, and this is true, that Shakespeare himself worked in that repertory format.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes some sense, I guess?
Oh, very much, yeah. His guys may not know more than a day in advance what show they were coming to do. So, yeah, they had multiple shows in their heads at any time.
Well, both plays, Henry IV and Henry V, and one of them is actually two plays, do I understand
that's
that right?
That's right. Henry IV.
Explain that again.
Henry IV is two shows, Henry IV Part 1 and Henry IV Part 2. And actually, there is another one that makes up this tetralogy, Richard II, and then Henry IV-1, Henry IV-2, and Henry V is one of Shakespeare's tetralogies.
I see. But, Bruce, you've had to edit it, haven't you? I mean, you've had to edit those plays down, or I guess it would last for 5 hours.
Tim had directed Henry IV. You had to conflate the two plays.
Was that a simple thing to do?
No, it was not a simple thing to do. He labored over it for a great deal of time. I mean, I've taken some cuts in Henry V, but comparatively my job was easy in terms of whittling that down to size. He had to take two plays and get it down to one.
Well, Anderson, how many roles are you playing?
Well, in Henry IV, I'm playing only one, Worcester, who's one of the leaders of the rebellion. And in Henry V, I'm playing the chorus, and Montjoy, who's the French herald who delivers messages back and forth to Henry, and Lord Erpingham, who's one of Henry's confidants and friends. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun. It's really fun. You know, now you get into the world of fast changes in costumes and running downstairs and figuring out where am I going and do I have enough time to get onto this. But it's really fun.
Do you have, like, traffic directors backstage that kind of remind you what you're doing?
No, but usually the other actors will do that. It's usually, get out of here, I'm changing. But
wrong dressing room.
Right, you know, you figure, do I have enough time to get back to the dressing room to make this change? Do I have to use the change area that they've got backstage? Or do I just have to preset this behind a door because I don't have enough time? But that's fun, and that's what tech is all about.
And it's great fun for the audience to come see the same actors playing multiple roles.
And some of the actors play the same character that they played in Henry IV. They still are in Henry V, and that's really fun because you get to see the progression of all these different, even some of the more minor characters. Mm-hmm. You see the progression through the plays. It's wonderful.
Both plays deal with general issues of leadership, succession, and war, I guess. Would you all maybe comment a little bit, expand on that, about the plot line, I guess?
Bruce?
You know, I call Henry V an epic of redemption. Henry IV, in terms of the story, you know, begins with Bolingbroke having taken the throne from Richard II and becoming King Henry IV. And then that story continues with Hal, his son, who becomes Henry V. And a lot of Henry V, I think, is about Hal seeking a sign as to whether he's going to be punished for his father usurping the throne. So the story unfolds that way.
Are there any particular highlights, maybe emotional highlights during the performance that you're particularly fond of?
I love watching the fights. The fights are tremendous. I mean, there are major battles on stage, more in Henry IV than in Henry V, but there's battles in both plays. The fights are tremendously exciting to watch.
And I would say the original score that we've done for both these shows is tremendous music.
Yeah,
Greg Coffin is a brand new composer with us, and the music is exhilarating. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, and I think, too, some of people are going to recognize some very, very familiar phrases in Henry V.
Like that, what?
Now I won't be able to think of any of them.
We happy few,
we band of brothers, for a muse of fire. There are a number of catchphrases.
And things in Henry IV like uneasy lies the head that wears
the crown. And what is it, valor, what is Falstaff's line?
Valor being the better part of discretion.
Right, valor being the better part of discretion.
We're talking with Anderson Matthews, Bruce Longworth, and Rick Dildine about the Shakespeare Festival's new season, which opens tomorrow in Forest Park. Well, William Shakespeare had a birthday just last month, didn't he? 450th, but that's just a guess.
And he doesn't look a day over 430.
Right. What's his secret?
I don't know. Clean living.
Well, we don't know exactly how old he is, really, right?
No, we know the year he was born. We know the day he was baptized on, and the tradition at that time where you were baptized 2 to 3 days after you were born. So our best guess is April 23rd. And also it just happens to be the same day he died 52 years later.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Talk a little bit about you just had the annual Shake 38, which you've had, I know, in the past. Tell me about this year, but I know in the past you've had it at some very unusual locations. And, talk about what it is.
Yeah, you know, in 2010 it started out as an ask to the community to perform all of Shakespeare's plays every hour on the hour for 38 hours straight in 38 different locations. That first year there were 200 performers. This past year it's now a 5-day event with over 1,600 performers doing the entire canon of Shakespeare in 38 different locations. And we just launched Shake38.com,
right,
which is our first step at taking this platform of creating Shakespeare with your community to other cities around the world.
So that's a website that would be running all year?
It's going all year long. All news about Shakespeare that's happening around the world, new ideas, new collaborations. You can go to Shake38.com, and it's all being generated, new content from St. Louis.
In September, coming up in September, you're going to have the annual Shakespeare in the Streets. And even someone like me could get on stage, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Shakespeare in the Streets, it's in its third year. We'll be performing in Clayton this year. And then in 2015, we'll be in Old North St. Louis. And that is us spending a year in a neighborhood, writing an original play about a neighborhood, but using Shakespeare's play, Shakespeare's themes as inspiration. And it's residents alongside professional actors. So come on out.
Bruce and Anderson, would you talk a little bit about Shakespeare Glen? I think that's it is an important element of the Shakespeare Festival, performing outside. And in that location, it's sort of a special place. And it's close proximity to the St. Louis Art Museum.
Right. It's just down the hill from the Art Museum or just up the hill from the zoo, depending on how you look at it. And it's a beautiful location. I mean, it's just it's a really magical experience to sit out there at night and watch the show and see the stars and... It's a beautiful place.
And the trees, we have our green room is under this huge shade tree, which we all love sitting under when it gets warmer. But it's magical, and they do such spectacular things with the lighting in the Glen that it just highlights everything. For example, in Henry V, the attacking French you're going to be seeing their bonfires up the hill away from the stage, and it creates this atmospheric. It's magical. It just is wonderful.
As an actor, you don't get a chance to perform outdoors that often, do you?
No, you don't. But I will say this, too. The festival has the most spectacular sound system I've ever heard. I mean, the miking system is extraordinary because after about 150 feet, it's your voice that is telling the story in the Glen. And you can hear it everywhere. And no matter how far away you are. And it's really, I don't know how they do it. It's magic.
Rick, the festival opens tomorrow. Maybe if you just go over briefly, because it's sort of confusing. the opportunities people have to see the plays and the plays together and, how they rotate and all that.
Sure. The full calendar is on our website at sfstl.com. The Henry IV will open on Saturday. Next Saturday, Henry V will open, and then they switch out alternating nights every night except Tuesdays. And then again, the doubleheader, June 7th and 14th. And we close on June 15th.
Because you're dark on Tuesdays.
Dark on Tuesdays.
So let me just refer people to our website, stlpublicradio.org, and go to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to all of that. Anything you want to say about tickets ahead of time? Is that a good idea?
You know, we also, for those that may be new to the festival, we do have reserved seats that you can purchase ahead of time and have a reserved seat there. You can also buy dinner with us. We have a full restaurant, full bar out there. So if you're new to it, we can take care of everything.
Well, how about, this is for all of you, how about if you're not familiar with Shakespeare, maybe you've never seen Henry IV or Henry V, is there anything that you need to know ahead of time before you go?
No, I don't think you do. I think the stories are very clear. They're very compelling. They're self-contained. I think you can come out and have a great time with no worries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And we have synopsis in the programs if you need a little refresher before the show. Yeah.
Well, that never hurts. And I might mention the St. Louis Post-Dispatch does something every year, which they did last Sunday. They have an interesting way they sort of lay it out on their arts A&E page, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people might want to look at that. Hmm. Well, anything else you'd like to say?
No, thanks for having us.
Well,
thank
I want to say one thing, Anderson.
Yes.
I've seen you in a lot of plays over the years in St. Louis, and there's one that sticks in my mind before I let you go. I just wanted to mention it to you. I don't know how many years ago it was at the Rep, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's right.
That has stuck in my mind. When I left that, I was so exhausted as an audience member. I was wondering how you felt on if it was as tough physically on the actors as it is the audience.
Yes, it was emotionally and physically exhausting, and because it's like a runaway train. Once it left the station, there was no going back. And it was also it was a good thing and probably a bad thing too. Carolyn Swift, who played Martha in that, happens to be my wife. So
I didn't realize that.
Right. Well, and so. That's always fun to go home to.
Wow. Day.
You go back to the apartment taking Virginia Woolf with you.
I'm still tired. Shakespeare Festival St. Louis opens tomorrow in Forest Park. We've been talking with the festival's executive director, Rick Dildine. Also Bruce Longworth, who's directing Henry V, Henry IV being directed by Tim O'Sell, who's not here. And actor Anderson Matthews has also been our guest. Thank you all for being here, and I hope people will check it out, particularly if they've never been to a festival before. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Steve Potter, and this is St. Louis Public Radio.